God is so good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How many know what today is? Other than Sunday, that's a good one. Because some places in the world today, it's not Sunday. That's right. So somebody know today is Palm Sunday. And actually, it's about a triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Well, we're not going to talk about Jesus' entrance today. We're going to talk about somebody else's entrance today into Jerusalem, which will occur a week after. But we need to remember, ISIS stepped up their game, and they attacked Egypt today, several churches in Egypt, for Palm Sunday service, and it's killed. So far, 21 have been killed and 25 wounded. So don't think they're coming to church. It's just church as normal, right? Because if they do it over there, you know they'll do it over here. And we can't stop it all because it's been proven, already proven time and time again, that we can't stop it all because the way they do it. We're not fighting a country. We're not fighting a normal enemy. We're fighting an ideology. And so because we're fighting ideology, there's a lot more going on than you ever could imagine. So it pays to be paid up or prayed up and paid up. Amen. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be, when you want me to be. Praise God. And we know that God's got this. Amen. Amen. I'm still going to be coming to church. I'm still going to be worshiping God. And I'm not going to let ISIS, you know, scare me away, because that's their major concern, is they want to scare us away from church, because they know as long as we're in church and we're binding together as one, they have very little power against us. Amen. But fear. And what did Roosevelt say? We have nothing to fear but what? Fear itself. Amen. And it probably is Palm Sunday, and you're talking to a colorblind person. Remember when we did our candles over there at Advent, the ones I picked. So remember, to me, y'all just wave your head like this. To me, this is a palm green shirt. Whatever color. Me and Benny will agree. That's right. Me and Benny and the Jets. Amen. We'll get it. Get your Bible out to Luke chapter 23. God is so awesome. All the time. Luke 23. We're going to talk about somebody else entering into Jerusalem. You know, I don't think it's by accident that you're here today. I never do, ever, because even if you happen to just walk up and say, well, you know what, my tire went flat and I had to come to this church today because I couldn't get anywhere else, then it was your day to be here. Amen. Amen. Get your Bible out. Turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. Verse 26, you know, a Quaker bought a cow, realized that this cow was stubborn. But Quakers keep their emotion under control. Did y'all know that? They never lose it. Matter of fact, if they get wore out, they just go eat them smoked meal. So they calm down. Amen. Well, one morning milking, the Quaker farmer's doing a bucket half full and the cow kicked it over. So he decided to let his patience win over, so he goes for a second bucket. The second bucket was halfway full, and the cow kicked it over again. Still, he was unmoved. So he gets out his third bucket. And the third bucket, almost full, kicked over. He stood up, grabbed it by the ears, and said, "Madam, I am a Quaker. As a Quaker, I cannot beat thee. I cannot curse thee. I cannot lose my temper against thee. But, madam, if you kick that bucket over one more time, I will sell thee to a Baptist, and he will beat the devil out of thee." Amen. Luke chapter 23. Stand for the reading of the word. We're talking about somebody else's entry, triumphant entry into Jerusalem today. Verse 26. And they led him away. They As they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. In other words, he's coming into the city. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, of women also which bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus turning unto them said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and paps that never get sucking. You know what? That's kind of like the days we live in. Amen? Because the way things are going, wow. And they shall begin to say in the mountains, Fall on us, to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall they do in the dry? And there came also two male fighters, led him away and put him to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the male fighters, one on the right hand and one on the left. Now let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're awesome. You have awesome power. You have awesome control. Lord, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, God, beyond you today. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint each and every need this hour. God, we can't do anything on our own. We've got to have your help in everything we do. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint us, Lord, and help us, God, to know what you're doing in our lives, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, Amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, praise God for Calvary. Go ahead. Amen. God's awesome. Amen. Now, if you read all this, I just read all of that. And if you're not careful, you will look and you'll see in that one little itty-bitty verse, there was one little itty-bitty line, and they led him away, and they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us in other versions, in Mark, and when you read the other versions or other Gospels, you see that they actually, we're going to talk a little bit about what they did with him, but it was some powerful, powerful, powerful stuff that happened. Now here you go. You see Simon of Cyrene, you're thinking, wow, that's a pretty short story. You know, somebody said, you hear the story about the two elves and the two elves and the midget? I said, no, they said, it was a short story anyway. Okay. Boo. Praise God. So we're going to talk about today something that I actually had talked about this years ago. This has been a subject that we had talked about, and we're going to talk about it again today because I feel this has hit some people in some hard ways, and they need to know that everything's okay. Have you ever had something unexpected happen to you? Have you ever had something happen upon you that was unexpected and also you thought was going to just do you in? Lately. Amen. Well, here we're going to talk about it. Here's Simon. He's looking up. He's looking down and he sees Jesus under the cross. That's Jesus looking up. Here you go. The blessings of the unexpected cross. Now, Simon was of Cyrene. Cyrene was in Africa. And Cyrene, they had some Jews settled there, and the Jews that were there were usually wealthy people. So Simon of Cyrene, he's a wealthy man, and he is living in Africa. But as good Jews do, every year they come at the Passover, and they come to celebrate Passover in the synagogue and go and place their sacrifices in the temple. And so here's what this man's doing. Now let's just kind of look at him for a minute and just kind of talk about Simon. Well, matter of fact, the whole sermon's going to be about Simon. Amen. First, he's a faithful man. Now, how many here want to know that if God had to put an epitaph on your tombstone, it would be he was a faithful man or a faithful woman. Amen? So he was a faithful man that would come there to celebrate the Passover. But not only was he a faithful man, he was a patient man because he came from North Africa. So here he is, he's come from North Africa. He's had to make a good little trip to get here, so it took him time. Effort, money, expenses, whatever. It was something. It was an expensive trip for this man to make, and it was a long trip for this man to make. So he's a faithful man. He's a patient man. Amen. But he's also a surrendered man. He's a surrendered man because it requires sacrifice to go sacrifice. You know, a lot of us will sacrifice as long as it don't cost us anything. Oh, don't shout me down. We'll sacrifice as long as it's not going to cost us much. We're prepared. We got our little handful. We say, as long as they don't do this, Lord, I'll be fine. And God says, you know what? I don't want your handful. I want your all. I want all of you. And say, well, why can't he ask for all? Because he gave his all. He showed us how to give our all. So God sees this man. This man is coming along. He's entering to the city. He's coming along to pay homage. He's coming along to do his sacrifice to the temple, to do his yearly thing. So he's already probably tired. He's already worn thin. He comes in, and as he walks in, he sees this going on as Jesus is going outside the gate. Now, if you look at all the Gospels and put them together, here's what happens. Now, watch this. The Bible says that the Simon of Cyrene, watch this now, it said he's coming along, he's looking, and he sees what's going on. And as he sees what's going on, he's just watching, and he's kind of spellbound at what's happening. And the Bible says they compelled him. They compelled him to take the cross. Let me just show you something about compelled. That word compelled literally means it's the power exercised by a soldier. A soldier back in that day, he had the power. Sort of like if you're riding down the road and a cop was leading your car and he said, look, he shows you his badge and he says, I need your car. Can you please step out? I need that car. Some of us would still go, are you crazy? But back then, remember, they could tell you, they take their bags and drop them at your feet and say, okay, you need to carry my bags for me. And you had to carry them for a mile. And Jesus said, don't just carry them for a mile, carry them for 2 miles. Show them that you're different. You have a different kind of lifestyle. You want to give your all in everything you do, even when it comes to serving the government. The evil ones. Ronald Reagan said, the most scary words in the world is to hear, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Amen. So the government's involved in this now. They didn't want to crucify him, but the religion wanted him crucified. And so religion handed over into the government. So religion and government's working together. And so they take him and they compel Simon. And from what it seems like, it says they laid hold on him. So it seems like if you look at these words, you can take and paint a picture with the words itself. He did not want to do this. This is not something he volunteered for. It's not something he said, hey, we need a volunteer. And he jumped out and said, I'll do it for him. No, the Bible says, according to these words, that the soldier resorted to force to grab Simon to carry his cross. Now, I want you to think about this thing now. He's not a volunteer. He'd been voluntold, amen. He was taken care of, and they told him that he was going to have to carry the cross. And so here's Simon. He's entering the city. He's expecting to go offer sacrifice, but instead, without him even realizing it, the sacrifice was coming to him. And so here he is, he's going, and the Bible tells us that as Simon, his cross that he's getting ready to bear, he doesn't even know that he's going to be bearing a cross this day. He has no idea what is happening. Some of y'all in here right now, there's something happened to you in the last week, maybe in the last month, maybe tomorrow. You have no idea that it was coming. You have no idea that you were getting ready to face this. You have no idea that Jesus was getting ready to ask you to do something that you didn't feel qualified for, you didn't feel right about, you didn't feel like you need to be doing this, but God's let you hit that unexpected cross. So watch this. First, this cross is unexpected. I mean, here's the routine. Every year, I get my stuff together, I go to Jerusalem, I offer the sacrifice, I worship God a little bit, and I go back home and everything's okay. Kind of like us on Sunday, isn't it? I go to church on Sunday, I tip the offering plate, and I wave at the praise team, and the pastor preaches, I go raise my hand 2 or 3 times, I go home, and that's it! Wow. Wow. You see, his routine was being interrupted because now God was getting ready to do a very powerful, powerful work in his life. And this work in his life was going to make a difference. And this difference was going to be an awesome difference. So now, I want you to see something now. Some of y'all right now, you ain't got to raise your hands, but some of you right now can sit right back and think about, you know what? You're right. God has let me carry a cross that I did not expect. I'm having to do something for somebody I didn't think I'd ever have to do. I'm having to do something or a different way, or I'm having to step into a situation I didn't want to step into. I have to be the rock for somebody I didn't want to be the rock for. I'm having to fight for these people that I didn't intend to fight for. I got these people depending on me that I did not want to depend on me. But I've had the cross just like Simon the Cyrene. I had the cross thrown upon my back at this hour. Now let me just tell you something. I want you to show you something here. What did it do for him to get the cross that he got that day? Let me show you something. Four things that cross did for Simon. Remember, not expecting it, did not welcome it. They literally had to take him and they had to use force to get him to go pick up that cross. He picks it up and he's walking, but he finds out as he's walking the cross with Jesus. Now I'll talk about a little bit about this later on at the end of the sermon. And this is only part one. We'll do part two after Easter because Easter sermon is going to be different. But we're going to have Easter next week and then part two of this the following week. But I'm not going to leave you hanging though. You're going to be stopping at a good point. Four things that cross did for Simon. And four things you're thinking, God, why do I have to get involved in this situation? God, why must I be the one that steps up to the plate? God, why must I be the one that steps up and defends that person or helps those people or takes care of those children? Why am I the one that has to do something about what's going on? Watch this. You say, God, I've got this unexpected cross. And it's killing me. Watch this. Four things that cross did for Simon. Number one, I want you to think about this for yourself. That cross brought him into the presence of Jesus. Some of y'all right now, until you had that cross thrown on your back, Jesus was an afterthought. Well, before that cross was thrown on your back, you were just going to come in, wave at everybody, tap the plate, you know, how you doing, Lord, and walk out. And now you can't do that. And you're saying, God, I felt like I got shafted. I felt like I got stuck. And God says, no, you didn't. Because of what's happening right now, you've been brought closer into my presence than you've ever been. Matter of fact, he was so close, he could hear his voice. I'm going to stop right there and camp for a minute. Just in the last 3 weeks, I've done three funerals. Sunday was a terrible funeral, Jonathan. And after we got to that funeral, I said, Lord, okay. Lord, can we have a break? I would really like a break, Lord. And he said, oh, you're going to get a break. But I know where to break you. I get a call, and it's the funeral home. And it said, this young lady died who happened to be a friend of your deceased wife and a friend of their little circle, and said that they live in Wilmington now and they need a pastor. And the man that called me said, you know, he was part of that circle. He said, I thought about you. Can you do it? And honestly, there was one side of me saying, you know, Lord, I just got it out of my mouth. Can I get a break? Just out of my mouth. I kid you not. And the phone rings. Matter of fact, not only was the phone ringing, I was taking an hour test. The hour test would say it's 1 hour time to test. When I opened it up, it was a two-hour time test. Somebody done something somewhere, but instead of 1 hour, it's 2 hours. And then the guy comes up to do the wrong, and the dogs are barking. I'm trying to get the dogs quit barking so I can do my two-hour, one-hour test. The funeral home calls, and I'm trying to write down this stuff. And I said, but I was saying, Lord, can I get a break? But then the funeral home calls and says, okay, can you do a funeral? And then when I met with the family on Wednesday, the Lord showed me why he threw that cross. I sat with that man and I talked with him. And as I talked with him and he began to pour out his heart, as we began to talk back and forth, I began to see exactly why I was there. Found out that the man had even had lived on possum track years ago. I mean, right there put him that high. But then he told me he was from West Virginia, so it barred him down a little bit. I did ask him to smile. Yeah, I did ask. I told him, I said, West Virginia, huh? I said, you know how to compliment a woman from West Virginia? He was really sad. So I said, Lord, maybe I can lighten his day. I said, you know how you compliment a West Virginia woman? He says, how? I said, say, nice tooth. He did the same thing. And I said, you know, that's where toothpaste was invented. He said, really? I said, yeah, really. West Virginia. He said, we're good for something. I said, yeah. Because if it was invented anywhere else, it'd be called toothpaste. He laughed. But still, that guy got up under my arm. And even at the funeral, he followed me and stood by me. And he told me, he said, God sent you. God sent you. He said, because you know and you can help, and thank you. And so for the rest of the time, I no longer said, God, how about a break? I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You see, God knows what he's doing. I told that young man, I said, let me tell you something. He said, well, I said, you think you felt God's comfort before, right? He said, yes. I said, get ready. You're getting ready to feel God's comfort more than you've ever felt it before. He says, why is that? I said, because what I have discovered is the greater the pain, the greater the comfort. The more you hurt, the greater the comfort will come. And when I told him that, he told me, he said, man, I never thought of it that way. And from then on out, like I said, he was right there with me, because he said, I see this. I understand this. I'm feeling something now I've never felt before. And I said, yes, that's God. And as he was walking out to go to follow the coffin into the funeral home or into the chapel, he was doing this. And I reached back to him and I said, that tightness you feel in your chest right now? He said, yeah. I said, that's actually the hands of God picking you up. Powerful. Powerful. You see, it brought him into the presence of Jesus. Watch this. Second thing that cross did, it made him follow in the steps of the Savior. You know, too many times we want to get ahead of God. I know y'all don't, but I do. Too many times we want to get behind God. But according to this, he went in tandem with God. So as Jesus took a step, he took a step. As Jesus moved, he moved. If Jesus stopped, he stopped. Your cross, your unexpected cross, first is putting you in the presence of God. Number two, he's helping you follow the steps of your Savior. Number three, it made him a part of the greatest work in the entire world. He had no idea that day what was getting ready to happen in his life. Man, his life changed forever after that day. You see, also, that cross changed his family forever. I'm almost through today. I told you I won't be long today. Okay. It was unexpected, it was powerful, and it was productive, for it carried a message. And here's the message, and I'm getting ready to close. Amen? Here's what he found out, and I want you to think about this very strongly. This is the last point we're going to have. This is the point we're stopping on. Jesus carried the cross first. Whatever you're carrying, Jesus carried it first. Wow. Jesus comes along. He's carrying his cross. He's already beat to a pulp. In that day, there was two types of major punishment. There was a capital punishment, which was the cross. And that's what happened with the thieves. But there was another capital punishment. If you go on the cross, you're dead. It's over. It's done. But if you happen to get the scourging, if you lived through the scourging, then you would live. Most people did not, but still, there was the scourging and or the cross. So Pilate set Jesus down to be scourged, hoping that they would not want to crucify him. But even after he had him scourged and brought him up and had the purple robe on him and said, "Behold your king," still they said, "Crucify him." So Jesus got both forms of capital punishment that day. So here's Jesus. He's coming up. He's already been whipped to a pulp. He's carrying his cross. It weighed between 100 and 300 pounds. He's carrying his cross, and he does something that's amazing to me. When I realize this, it's helped me so much. As he's carrying his cross up Calvary's Hill, or trying to get it to Calvary's Hill, it's a 7-mile journey because it made you go through every street in Jerusalem. Every street with somebody marching in front with a banner saying what your problem was, why you were being crucified. And all they could say about him was, "Behold the King of the Jews. Behold the King of the Jews." He marches through the city, or drags that cross through the city 7 miles from the beginning all the way up to Mount Calvary. And as he's in this 7-mile journey, the Bible says he fell under the load of his cross. He fell many times, but this time when he fell, he couldn't go any longer. Couldn't go any further. So the Bible says the soldiers realizing he can't do this, that's when they try to enlist help to help Jesus carry his load. Some of y'all in here right now, you're making a long journey with your cross on your shoulder, and every time you fall, you think it's a bad thing in there. You're thinking, "I've blown it because I couldn't carry that cross." Let me tell you something. If Jesus couldn't carry his cross without help, who are we? If Jesus needed help carrying his cross, he was showing us, hey, it's okay if you stumble. It's okay if you fall. Somebody will be there to pick you up and to help you. So now watch this. Jesus carried the cross first. Before Simon was ever involved, Jesus had already taken up that cross. Some of y'all in here right now, if you could get that through your head, what you're going through right now, Jesus has already been through that. He was already there before it ever started. He knew. Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 53:3-4, that he is a man of sorrows, that he bore our grief, he carried our sorrows. Born means to carry on the inside, to be pregnant. He knows what you're going through, and he's carried your pain inside to the point that it made his stomach feel funny. And he's carried it, he's took it personal. Whoever's hurting here this morning, Jesus has already carried your pain before you ever had it. Not only he carried it before you had it, he's taking it very personal, that is your pain, and he's there to help you through what you're going through. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation is taken you, which is not common unto man. But God is faithful, and he will provide a means of escape." That word "taken" literally means to siege, to remove with force, to threaten with violence. Wow. So watch this. Jesus carried the cross first. Whatever happens to you, he's already been there. DC, come on up here, buddy. Y'all come up. Y'all guys, come on up here. He's already been there. Hebrews 4:14-16 says, "We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." That word "infirmities" means weaknesses. "He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Come boldly to the throne of grace." He's been there. And he can be touched. But watch this. This is my favorite of all of this sermon. That cross that Simon carried didn't have his name on it. It had Jesus' name on it. When Saul of Tarsus was coming against God's people, and Jesus struck him down on the road to Damascus, he said, "Lord, who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus, the one that you persecute." "Wait a minute, I'm not persecuting you, Jesus. I'm persecuting these church folk." "No, you're persecuting me. When you touch one of them, you're touching me." You know, while ago I was playing around with, when Marina was up here in Jordan, and I don't know how Daniel will throw sticks at me back here when I'm not doing right. Or he used to just throw guitar picks. Now he throws drumsticks at me because I'm close enough to him. And so I sat there and I feel a drumstick hit me in the back. And I know Daniel's trying to get my attention. And so Marina said something about I could throw picks at them. And I said, "Well, I could throw drumsticks and picks, but you're a mama." And I said, "You got that little one." I said, so whenever I want to throw something at you, I'll throw it at Jordan instead. I said, so Jordan, if you get hit with a stick, just walk over and look over at Marina and say, that was for you, honey. She's a black belt, a double black belt in karate, whatever you call it, however you say it. You want to see that black belt come out? You touched little Liam the wrong way. Amen? She may still be trying to get over having Liam, but I can tell you what, you'll think she's Bruce Lee with nunchucks. And no matter how much she loves Liam, God loves Liam more. The cross you're carrying today doesn't have your name on it. It's got His name on it. I wanted to wait till the following week, but some of y'all might not be here the following week, so I'm going to tell you this today. Matter of fact, this is where I got the idea to do this again. I was at Emmaus last Sunday morning. And as I was at Emmaus, about 7 o'clock in the morning, when all the guys that got together, and we were having a devotion time, and it was my turn. And the Lord spoke to me then. I told Him then, that's when this came into being. A historian asked Simon of Cyrene what he think about the crucifixion, and what did he think about him? And he was a wealthy man. What did he think about him, a prominent man, being drugged by the guards and thrown under that cross? And he said, I had no idea what was happening that day. I come in to do my sacrifices as normal. And as I walk into the city, I see this poor man that was innocent, had done nothing wrong, beat beyond recognition. He said, I saw him as they were making him carry that cross. He said, I wasn't going to get involved. He said, but I got yanked and I got pushed into service. He said, so there I was. I got shoved up under the cross. And he said, I looked down on the ground and there was a man beat beyond recognition with tears in his eyes. And he said, he reached up. I had his cross on one shoulder. He said he reached up and took his hand and put his hand on my other shoulder. And he said, I carried that cross and him up to Calvary's Hill the rest of the way. And they asked him, would he do it again? He said, 1,000 times, yes, I would do it again. He said, but there's only one way I would do it. And they said, what's that? He said, that day, under all the confusion, under all the madness, he said, I reached down and I picked up that cross and I felt the weight of that cross. I saw that man. It broke my heart because he had done no wrong. And he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, like I told you 1,000 times, I would carry that cross again under one condition. He said, because when I picked up that cross, I felt the weight of it. And he said, as soon as Jesus put his hand on my other shoulder, I never felt the weight of that cross all the way to Calvary's Hill. He said, I'd carried 1,000 times again. As long as Jesus had his hand on one shoulder and the cross on the other, because then I could bear it. Wow. Wow. Now, I want you to come back next week, or next week for Easter, definitely, but the following week we're going to finish this up. But here's what I want you to go home and remember. That cross that you're carrying right now does not have your name on it. It's got Jesus' name on it. And you may think it's new to you, yes, but it's not new to Him. He carried it before you got it. And I thank God for that. I thank Him for that. Everybody please stand. I'm just going to, first let me ask, every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here this morning to say, I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior? Would you say, just raise that hand and say, I don't know Him. I need to, but I don't know Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, you know what? I talk to him, but I'm not where I should be. I know that there's more to this than I'm living. And I know there's a lot more involvement. And I'm just not where I should be. I want you to pray for me. I'm talking to you right now, nobody looking around. Would you put that hand up and say, that's me. I'm not where I should be. I know him, but I don't know where I'm not where I should be. Touch him, Lord, all of them right now. In the name of Jesus. And then let me ask this question. How many in here would say, you know what? I got thrust into service. I got compelled. I got thrown into a situation I weren't expecting. I got thrown into a situation that I didn't want to be part of, but I am. And now I'm carrying the load. And today, I realize and I see that even in all this craziness, in all of this pain, God still got this. God is the one making the assignments, not me. God is the one making the assignments, not Satan. God is in control, not the world. And I thank God. I thank God that He is. If you're here this morning, nobody looking around, and you're carrying an unexpected cross, would you just raise that hand? And we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Hands going up. Hands going up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you got this. You've got this. You've got this. Lord, I thank you that you carried it first. I thank you, Lord, that you carried it first. I thank you, God, that this is bringing us into your presence in a way that we've never experienced. I thank you, God, that it helps us to follow in God's footsteps. I thank you, God, that it lets us be part of the greatest work in the world. And I thank you, God, that it will not leave me the same as when I picked it up. All that will, I want you to come and pray. Lord, those that raise their hands, Lord, bless them beyond blessing. Touch them, lift them up, strengthen them. All that will, come and pray. All that will, come and pray. Thank you, Father. I thank you for closeness to you, Lord. I thank you for the cross. I thank you, God. All that will, come and pray. Come and pray. It doesn't matter what you need. Come and pray. God is here in a real way. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Yes, that cross was unexpected. But God, I thank you for it because it made me different. It made me something that I had no idea I could be. I thank you, God, that you're doing a work in me that could not be done any other way. I thank you, God, for that unexpected cross. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory! Reach your hands to heaven, church. Reach your hands to heaven. Reach your hands to heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the unexpected cross. Thank you for the unexpected cross. Thank you, Lord. Glory! I didn't want it. I didn't ask for it. It got thrust on me. But I thank you for it now, God. I thank you now that I see something's taking place inside of me like never before. I thank you, Lord. He carried it first. He carried it first. Y'all say that. He carried it first. Praise the Lord.
hate you.
Glory. All right, everybody lift your hands and say, Lord, I didn't ask for it, but it was thrust upon me. You showed me through the life of Simon that you're still in control. And I thank you. You're going to give me what I need to carry this unexpected cross. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. Amen. 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 I can listen to them guys play all day. Amen. Tuesday night, we're doing something different. Of course, we always do something different. But this is really different. I was asking the Lord what to do on Tuesday nights. And I've done fear. What you're doing is you're learning how to overcome your own problems, but also learning how to help other people with their problems. And the Lord spoke to me about phobias. Phobias. And so for the last couple of weeks, I've been doing phobias. And again, I'm not sure how many weeks it's going to last because I never really know how long it's going to last, but it's going to be phobias. Last week, I believe, was a monumental teaching for many people, including myself. Please, if you can make your way. Again, I had no idea. I thought it was just going to be cut and dry, go through it. And no, the Lord put the plow down, and He's just plowing. And I thank God for that. I see the seagulls flying around. As long as the seagulls are not buzzards, we're all right. Amen. God's good. All the time.